CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, and our colleague Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute. The year in the People's Republic of China. Gentlemen, I call attention to the large details, and I welcome you to add more. They're dominated by the long run-up to the 20th Party Congress and the naming of Xi Jinping as General Secretary for life, as far as we understand it, an unprecedented third term. But other details that dominated the year in the People's Republic of China, I list in no particular order, the COVID zero policy leading to the catastrophe of right now, the property collapse leading to the doubts of many investors that they'll ever get their money back or see an apartment that they paid for. And then we have the crushing of Hong Kong and the persecution and torturing of certain major individuals, Jimmy Lai of Apple Daily, for example. And we have certainly to deal with China's projection into the world, aggressive beyond the wolf warrior to bullying not only the large but the small states. I'm thinking particularly Lithuania and Europe that wanted to recognize Taiwan and was specifically singled out by the Chinese diplomats to be persecuted. But it goes on all the time. And then one more thing that I remember now of the year is that the Biden administration, surprisingly to many, continued the tough tariff talk and, in fact, strengthened it against China, depriving China right now, if I understand correctly, of access to the high-end tool-making and equipment and patents necessary for a domestic-grown chip-making. Gordon, do you want to add any high moments of the year, or do you have comment on these high moments? Is there one worse than any other?
There have been so much that's going on, John. It's really hard to keep track of it. I think the most important thing that you mentioned, the Biden administration's restrictions on the sale of chips and chip-making equipment, because that shows a real attempt to contest China's, especially with regard to technology. But there's so many more things that have to be done. And I think that essentially the story is not so much what has been done, but what needs to be done and the urgency with which we must act.
Charles, I come to you because Canada, too, has gone through a year with China. Noted to me is the rudeness and the aggression that Xi Jinping himself demonstrated towards your prime minister at G20. It was surprising in that at the time, I was struck by a man who controls a party of and a country and an economy that is dominant worldwide, going out of his way, wanting us to see how he sought to be rude to the prime minister of what, 40 million people or less, a very important state for us here in North America, but not what you would say was a peer of the Chinese ambitions to dominate the earth. What about that incident, or what about other incidents to do with China and Canada stand out in your memory, Charles?
Well, I think this year has been the year that the Canadian government is finally getting it, that China plays a very serious threat to the integrity of the liberal rules-based order led by the United States, and Mr. Xi lashing out at our prime minister for, you know, some imagined offense in publicizing that he'd engaged the Chinese president on the issue of Chinese interference in Canada's democratic process, you know, funding candidates in democratic elections in Canada that are favorable to China, and other outrages, sending out a message to smaller countries that you have to get in line behind China or else. And, you know, he did threaten the prime minister with consequences, which presumably would be economic coercion in terms of denying access for Canadian commodities into the Chinese market and causing, you know, our producers and farmers to suffer economically. But I think in general, this is part of China's overall desire to push forward, sort of hidden in plain sight, with its program of achieving the community of the common destiny of mankind, or a China-dominated political agenda in the world, a non-liberal, non-democratic one, where China is at the center, and restructuring the global economy through the Belt and Road program to make all those belts and roads end in China and cause every nation of the world to become subordinate to China's civilizational greatness and economic power, precedented on the idea that Mr. Xi believes that the United States is a power in decline and will simply, you know, destroy itself and disappear as a rival in global hegemony. So, you know, that's where we're standing. But I think that the response of the world to what China's doing and increasing support globally for maintaining the integrity of democratic Taiwan against China's increasingly aggressive military action in the Taiwan Strait indicates that, you know, things are failing internationally for Mr. Xi, as they are failing economically in terms of the factors that you brought up, the collapse of real estate prices, which sustain an extraordinary amount of the Chinese economy, rising unemployment, falling productivity due to China's own zero COVID policies, and so on. So it's been a bad year for Mr. Xi domestically and a bad year for Mr. Xi in terms of his overall global agenda. And I think the Chinese people must see that, and there will be consequences for the communist regime in China, maybe even as soon as 2023.
The war in Ukraine, Gordon, I note that Xi, having pledged some kind of alliance early on, has been, what you say, hesitant to do more than that, to ship arms. Perhaps that's to do with sanctions. But now we're told there's a joint naval exercise planned for the Pacific within these next days between Chinese and Russian warships. Is Xi at this point hesitating still, Gordon, or do you think he's decided to throw his lot in with Moscow in what appears to be a losing cause in Ukraine?
I think that Xi Jinping is clearly going to support the Russians to the greatest extent possible. And this will depend not on what Vladimir Putin asked for, but what Biden will do. Biden has been warning China about providing military assistance. China has actually been providing such assistance, and the United States has not been imposing costs. But there have been private discussions, of course, between Beijing and Washington on this. And I suspect that the Chinese are reacting to what they think the Biden administration will do.
And Charles, what is your measure of this joint naval exercise suddenly? The Japanese self-defense forces are reporting Russian and Chinese warship near its waters. And now we're told there's going to be an exercise soon enough. Let's see, they're calling it Maritime Cooperation 2022. So this isn't the first time they've worked together, but is it significant that it's coming now?
Oh, I think so. And I mean, I quite agree that for China, it's important that Russia not fail in Ukraine, just as it's very important for the United States and all of us that Russia should fail in Ukraine. The consequences of either are enormous. These military exercises, you know, suggest that maybe China hopes that a weakened Russia will become a kind of subordinate state to China and assist China with its military might and hardware and military capability to increase China's power in the Indo-Pacific and in Taiwan. You know, ultimately, China hopes that they can get the United States out of South Korea and Japan and remove those military bases and create a China-dominated sphere around China. These things are very concerning and are clearly going to lead to greater Japanese militarization and greater presence of NATO nations in the Indo-Pacific, which means we'll be taking resources away from Europe. So, you know, there are a lot of unstable and concerning changes going on in the world, and China seems to be the common factor in all of them.
And Gordon, just 30 seconds, what is your expectation for right away, the winter of 2023? More confrontation, more aggression by China?
Certainly. Just this morning, Bloomberg has reported that China is occupying features in the South China Sea that is not theirs. These are acts of aggression, John. We saw the incursion into India pressuring the Philippines this month, all as the while China's falling apart internally. This is perhaps the most dangerous period in history.
Charles Burton, yeah. Gordon Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.